You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me once again Brian Groves, the CEO of Genesis Metals. Brian first introduced Genesis Metals to this audience on June 6th, so today we want to find out what has transpired since then, what the company has maybe learned since then about their Chevrier project in Quebec. Brian is, as I mentioned, the CEO, and he's a director of Genesis Metals. He's over 30 years of experience in Australia and Canadian mining exploration. He's been involved with a host of major companies, household name companies like Amex Minerals, Noranda, Placer Dome, and since 2003, he's been involved more with the juniors, and that's we're glad that he's using his talents for a company that I have some shares in, so recommended the stock, Genesis Metals, to my subscribers, and I'm very happy to have companies like Genesis that sponsor this show. I like to have companies that I like that sponsor this show. Genesis Metals trades in Toronto under the symbol GIS. In the U.S., you can buy it, as I have, under the symbol GGISF. 70.3 million shares is trading about 14 cents in U.S. money today. Gives it a minuscule market cap of just a shade under 10 million U.S. dollars. Thanks for joining me again, Brian.
Thanks very much, Jay, for having me again.
Yep. Always good to have you here and to hear about your project, because it is one. In fact, I must say that as I was reviewing what you told us back on June 6th today in preparation for this show, I said, by golly, I've got to pick up a few more shares, and that's exactly what I did this morning. I actually doubled my share position. So it's a, but I mean, you have a good start there towards, towards possibly proving up over a million ounces, maybe several million ounces of mineable gold there in Quebec. You had a 43-101 resource around 300,000 ounces, I believe, a historic resource that I believe was calculated under 43-101 guidelines, but since you are now the owner and not the one that did the work, you have to do a bit more there to bring that up to the 43-101 guidelines. And you have some fairly extensive drilling that was done in the north by Falconbridge in the past that also seems to be very promising. On July 11th, you announced that you would be starting a 10,000-meter drill program, of which I believe you're going to do 5,000 meters first, then perhaps study that, the results of that, and then do the following 5,000 meters. Do I have that right? And where are you at in that program now?
Well, actually, we have just finished the first phase of drilling and trenching. Uh-huh. So that that entails around about 4,800 meters, close enough to the 5,000 meters that we had anticipated for drilling. Uh-huh. And we also completed about 24 trenches. I'm sure most of your listeners realize that a trench is really just it's a fancy name for a big ditch to expose the bedrock using a backhoe. So we've had a very, very busy 6 to 8 weeks since we announced the start of drilling. Very, very efficient drilling, drilling contractors in Quebec, so we've had very good production. So in that 4,800 meters, we drilled 26 holes. And the main focus at this stage was to do two things. One was to dedicate some holes to the main zone, which is the site of the compliant resource that you referred to of the 300,000 ounces. It's also the site, the zone that had a historic resource compiled back in the 1990s by Minova, which was Falconbridge Copper, so a blue chip base metal producing company. Unfortunately, because it lies outside of 43-101 in terms of its age, we cannot really use it much, so we've decided to go back and drill holes into the main zone. So approximately half the holes of that 26 holes in total were dedicated to the main zone, and that was designed to twin historic holes. In other words, try to drill a hole in very close proximity to existing historic holes. and as well as holes to try and evaluate areas for extension and to infill known areas of gold mineralization. So the remaining 12 holes were then designed to evaluate IP, induced polarization, geophysical anomalies that lie in close proximity to the main zone. So we've, as I said, we've had a very busy summer. Part of the reason that we chose to do two phases with approximately about a 4-week break between the phases of drilling is really just to allow assays to catch up. We know that most assay labs in North America are swamped at the present time with samples. Turnaround times are typically, 4 weeks or more. So we decided not to embark on the second phase until we had given ourselves an opportunity to collect all the relevant assay data from the first phase. And in that first phase, as I mentioned, we're testing some concepts and ideas as well as trying to get a better handle on the main zone.
Right. So you can look at the drill core and maybe learn something from that and study that and sort of that along with your IP anomalies and so forth allow you to set up your second phase two, I guess you call it, of the 5,000-meter program?
That's correct. Yeah, the main focus of drilling was all in the area of the main zone, as I mentioned. The second phase will be dedicating quite a few meters of drilling to the area that you referenced, which had been drilled by Falconbridge in the 1980s, even older than the main zone. So the Falconbridge copper did quite a few holes in an area called the East Zone, which is in the northeast corner of the property. I was fortunate enough to be into, we had to blaze through bush there, but there's a large area of exposed bedrock in outcrop almost, where Falconbridge, you could see where Falconbridge had taken various samples and set up drill holes. But to me, it's still a very, very intriguing target. So quite a few meters, as I said, of the second phase of drilling, another 5,000 meters is planned, starting in the latter part of September, will be devoted towards testing that area as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and your trenching program, I guess, also is not necessarily meant to look for mineralization, but to find structures so that you know how to set up your drill programs?
Typically, I guess our program this summer, Jay, is a little unusual. You typically do not run trenching and drilling concurrently, but we chose to just to try and basically evaluate as many targets as possible. We knew we had to drill holes into the main zone just for confirmation purposes and to allow us to start using some of the historic data from a compliant point of view when we're ready to update the resource estimate. But in most cases, trenching is very, very cost effective at testing some of the IP anomalies just to see if we can explain the source of those anomalies. And in one particular case, one of the trenches on an IP anomaly appears to have uncovered a wide alteration zone which appears not to have been recognized before by any workers on the property. So we are eager to see what assays may come back from that. So it just shows that on a project that has had a fairly lengthy history of exploration going back about 40 years, that you can still make interesting areas, identify interesting areas that people haven't worked on before. So we're very fortunate. Just to apprise everybody, that's the end of our trenching program. We won't be doing any further trenches at this stage, and everything from here on, and as I mentioned, will be the dedicated to drilling.
And these are fairly shallow holes, I guess, so that you're looking at a 5,000-meter drill hole. A drill program can get you quite a bit of data, quite a bit of
that's
important
exactly
data
right
into mineralized zones.
That's true. Yeah, we're anticipating another, as I said, another 5,000 meters should be around somewhere between 26 to 28 holes additionally. And one thing we have also learned is in the main zone, we know that there is tight folding in some of the mineralization areas, and that seems to concentrate the higher grades. But what we've recognized by looking at the longitudinal sections, in other words, the orientation of the deformation zone is roughly northeast southwest. So if we do a slice, a vertical slice through the drill data in that along that parallel direction, we start to see a rake, like a plunge or a rake to the south, which is quite intriguing. And we don't think that perhaps previous workers recognized there may have been a second potential control on mineralization. And again, this was part of our intent with this phase of drilling, was to try and understand what the controls on mineralization were. Rather than try and drill for high grade, let's see, you know, if we can understand what controls the mineralization and look for areas for expansion. So in support of a potentially, hopefully, a larger resource estimate once we get to that stage.
Sure, if you can understand the controls, the features that control the mineralization, then you can, I suppose, drill much more efficiently. So
that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really I found very promising is the idea that you had a lot of drill data that wasn't factored yet into that 43-101. And I think that historic resource of 540,000 ounces or something like that, do you expect that you'll be able to pull a lot of those ounces into a resource? And if so, how soon?
I think we anticipate that we'll be able to use most of the old historic data. Again, mm-hmm. twinning of holes is a very yeah. common step
sure.
in the process of certification to keep, you know, the regulators and the exchange, you know, sort of happy, shall I say, in terms of the quality of the data that we're using.
Sure.
But I think what we're seeing, Jay, is that if this rate component is actually validated by further drilling in the second phase, it could very well be that we have a lot more drilling to do to build up that resource. I think the best guidance I could provide your listeners would be that we won't be charging into a resource estimate and probably until mid-next year at this stage. Could come a little earlier, but again, with any measure of success, for instance, even on the east zone, by going back and reviewing all the data there and doing some smart drilling, if I can use that term, in the second phase of our current program, if we are successful there, then we potentially have another zone that upon which we'll probably be looking at the opportunity to calculate a resource at some stage. So I think we could, you know, I think that's probably the best guidance I can provide in terms of time
sure.
of an update.
Yeah. Sure. If I hear what you're saying, that historic resource of 540,000 ounces, if you charged forward and try to just, you know, twin enough holes to get that into compliance, you may be actually shortchanging yourself or your investors in terms of what you might really have there, depending on if you see some structural controls, I suppose. That's
exactly it. Yeah. If we see a predictive criterion or control, for instance, on the mineralization that offers potential to expand the resource along areas where, you know, no mineralization has been encountered previously, then I think it's in the best interest of shareholders to let us fully evaluate the size, potential, you know, size of the deposit before we get to the resource estimation phase. Yep.
How much work was done up there with Falcon Bridge in the east? I mean, were there a lot of holes put down there? And if so, might there be a resource coming from that area sometime in the near future?
It's very possible, Jay. The government assessment files indicate that they completed somewhere in the range of about 50 plus holes. Mm. These were mostly shallow holes because, as I mentioned, the east zone is exposed an outcrop over a fairly large area, so roughly in imperial units, roughly about 150 by 500 or 600 feet, so quite a significant area of exposure. And there are conspicuous quartz veins, and you can see where Falcon Bridge took channel samples with a diamond mm-hmm. sore, which, you know, just a narrow shallow sample from the bedrock surface. But it was very selective. They only sampled the quartz veins, and we know that sometimes at that stage, you know, open pittable bulk mineable type deposits were not even imagined in the, you know, in the Archean in Canada. Everything was underground. So what we have also completed are four channel cuts, so about 150 feet long, right across that large area of outcrop and crossing the strike direction, just to see what the grade distribution looks like across the entire outcrop area. We don't know at this stage, but what we do know is in the drilling that Falcon Bridge completed, they were very, very selective in the samples they took from drill core and assayed. Today, most gold exploration would be looking at sampling most, if not all, the core, because mm-hmm. it's hard to predict where core is 100% of the time. Gold is 100% of the time. So we can see very selective sampling on the part of Falcon Bridge back in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And as part of this current work program as well, I forgot to mention that we've gone back and resampled three holes from the historic holes from the main zone and five historic holes from the east zone to basically sample the sections of core that were previously not sampled by the likes of Falcon Bridge and Minova to see if we can establish any grade distribution in those previously unsampled areas. If we mm-hmm. can, then it changes, again, that would change the the scope and the dimension of the potential for a resource quite immeasurably. So we're still looking for the assays. We have completed the program, as I said, for this first phase. We anticipate assays to be arriving with first news releases coming out about the results probably by mid-September. We're hoping, fingers crossed, and that the turnaround time stays within that 4 to maybe 5 week time range, in which case your listeners can reasonably expect our first update on results, as I said, in mid-September.
All right, and then the next drill program would start thereafter. Can you drill through the winter there?
Yes, we can. We're very fortunate. The main zone itself is on the land. We can drill. If anything, eastern Canada has had a very, very wet summer, so it's been quite swampy and boggy. Some of the roads have been very difficult to traverse. We had to use four-wheel ATVs to get to some of the trench locations just last week. But when that freezes, it makes for very easy access around the property. We're still considering the south zone, which is a second zone lying to the south of the main zone. It was previously drilled by Minova, but when the 2010 43-101 report was issued, the authors of that report concluded that if another 20 holes were drilled into the south zone, it might be possible then to have the sufficient drill density upon which to calculate a resource estimate. South zone, though, a part of that lies under a shallow lake, so that would definitely be a winter program. So, again, we'll have to figure that into the schedule for early winter next year.
All right, Brian. Well, we're just basically out of time. I guess your drivers then, people should be watching for those assays and ongoing information that comes out of that, I suppose.
Correct. Yeah, and with the turnaround, with the number of samples we've submitted, we can probably see assays announcements coming through for the next 6 weeks to 2 months, Jay.
And okay. All right. Very good. And you have cash, enough cash to get you through. You'll probably need to raise some money next year, though.
I think we will, yes, certainly. We plan to finish this program with somewhere in the range of $1.2 to $1.5 million still in the Treasury, so so that it's still a reasonable place, but yes, we will need to be looking at the market again next year for next year's programs.
All right, a very exciting story to be sure. Thank you very much for being with us, Brian. We'll look forward to keeping up with you in the future.
Thanks very much, Jay, for having me today. Okay.
You bet. Okay, folks, well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because William Angdahl will be with us to talk about what is India up to? Which side of the east-west equation is India resting on? Is it with the east or the west? And what it's all about their policies of getting rid of currency and getting rid of and trying to discourage their citizens from owning gold. What's that all about? We'll talk to William Angdahl about that after the break. Don't go away.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently upgrading and expanding on its resources to produce an economic study in Q3 2017, followed by construction in Q1 2018. Novo enjoys a strong balance sheet and supportive shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.